With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Well, welcome everyone to the EvoStick Division 1 show. Yes, a special monthly podcast dedicated to the Northern Premier League Division 1, North and South. I'm your host Ben Hughes, and coming up in the show, we talk about managerial changes left, right and centre. And we'll be hearing from the surprise packages of this season thus far, Coalville Town and Glossop North End. We'll be speaking to Andrew Simpson about Division 1 North, and we'll be speaking to Robin Gray about Division 1 South. And we'll also have interviews with Lancaster City and Belper Town in this month's show. So, hello and welcome. So welcome to the show, everybody. Coming up, we've got a little bit of a preview for this weekend's fixtures in Division 1 North and South. But before that, we've had two managerial announcements in the past couple of days or so. The first one we're going to deal with is at Lancaster City of Division 1 North. And, well, for more on this, we're joined by Adam Lord, sports reporter at the Lancaster Guardian. Hello, Adam. How are you?
Hi, I'm not so bad, thanks.
So this news broke on Monday. We're recording this on Monday, so it's still kind of a fluid situation. What's happened at Lancaster City?
As far as I'm aware, after the FA Cup exit at Droylsden, a disappointing game by all accounts all round, Darren and Trevor have essentially decided that they, in the old footballing cliche, they've taken Lancaster as far as they can, really.
In the news report I've read on Monday, it basically says, like you say, that they've taken it as far as they can. But it was meant to be a five-year process, this, isn't it? So what do you think's changed? It's not just one result, is it?
No. Darren was in this for the long haul. I think when he arrived in sort of 2013 and then Trevor followed 12 months ago, I think a few people maybe thought this has probably lasted longer than a few people thought it would, but he always had 5 years in his mind and how he could develop the club. But it's not, you know, these plans are in place, but clearly last time I spoke to him face-to-face, certainly he got the impression that he was just inherently frustrated on the transfer front mainly, and clearly there are a few off-the-field just disagreements as well. So he's decided that the time is now to go, and Trevor, as his assistant, has backed him up and gone with him as well, I think.
From my own personal perspective, it's a year since Lancaster City beat FC United in the FA Cup, second qualifying round, I think it was. Like you say, though, did the club rely on an FA Cup run, do you feel? Because they're in Division 1 North, and there's a lot of big spenders, despite the fact Salford are down and have now left the league.
There are, but I think there was a feeling this year that it was sort of as open as it ever been. They stuttered out of the blocks, really. And as I say, I think the main issue here is maybe budget related. I don't think they relied on an FA Cup run. They're not that naive in terms of, you know, the club itself. But when it came to trying to bolster the squad, I think increasingly hit a brick wall. And no disrespect to some of the lads at all. But he was relying on bringing people up from sort of the West Lancashire League up our way rather than players coming down. It was those trying to make the leap. And it's a battle for some of them, and the as I say, the results weren't coming as easily as they would have liked, and that sort of frustration on the transfer front has, I think, ultimately led to their departure.
I'm going to try and focus on positives for Lancaster City. They've only actually lost two league games all season. I know but it has been a bit sluggish, hasn't it, compared to the likes of, I don't know, Northwich Victoria, for example.
Yeah, no, I remember when I first interviewed Darren when he arrived, all I wanted to talk about was Kevin Keegan's Newcastle. But he was he and Trevor, when he arrived, talked very sort of glowingly of Jerry Francis and the defensive shape that he set up at QPR when they both played there. Darren, as a central defender, was keen on that defensive side. So they were by and large hard to beat. I have to say the last game I saw was the 3-0 defeat to Spennymoor when they folded a bit, but they've been by and large hard to defeat. Sort of the resurgence last year was based on clean sheets rather than scoring goals left, right and centre. But it's not a dreadful start, but I think the sense I'm getting is that when Darren is saying to you that he's not sure where, you know, improvements are going to come from, yeah, I think he must look around and think, well, where do I go from here? I think was the case, and he's taken after what, as I say, maybe that very, very disappointing day was the straw that brought the camel back on Saturday.
When it comes to Lancaster City going forward, though, the question I asked you off air was, how quickly are Lancaster City going to make a decision on this to appoint a new manager? Because despite the fact the start's not been terrible, they are 15th in the league at this moment in time. Is there anyone the club has in mind? Do you get the impression?
Straight off, I must admit, I was on the... It's all happened quite quickly, I think. So, I mean, fans are already looking towards Tony Hesketh. I know, I must admit, to any Lancaster fan listening to that, that is based on no concrete information at my end. That is just what fans have told me they'd like to see.
Hey, you never know, Adam. When this airs on Wednesday...
He's a very popular figure here and things like that. But, I mean, it's very early days. Certainly when Darren was appointed, they took their time about it. And it is early in the season. You wonder whether, I don't know, unless they've got somebody concrete in mind, why there would be such a rush. I would imagine they will open it up to applications and see who they get interested as well. That would seem to be, from my point of view, the wisest sort of course of action at this point. But, you know, they may have somebody in mind straight away. I don't know. But we shall see. It's a... Whether we go, I don't know. I mean, they went for sort of the more high profile route. I should reiterate that they both threw themselves into that. They weren't in there as high profile coaches. They got stuck into that sort of non-league aspect of it, and were there as good coaches as well. But they might go back to somebody who maybe has proven pedigree at Evo Stick First Division North level. I'm not so sure, but it may be a case of who's available and who they can get. We'll see.
Just a quick mention then for Lancaster overall. It's the only club in the city. It's a big name, and there was this 5-year plan. Warrington, for example, have had a 5-year plan. AFC Fylde have had a 10-year plan. What's the plan now, do you think, for Lancaster City going forward?
It's a bit of a battle, I think, because the budget is nowhere, as I understand it, is nowhere near the two clubs you just mentioned, obviously.
Yeah.
There'll be a look of what if, because they missed out on the playoffs by sort of on goal difference a couple of years ago and then sort of failed to match that last season. They've done well over the last couple of years developing some very local players, but I think maybe the feeling is that they need a few more experienced ones to get themselves over the line. But I think what Darren has found is that with the budget he's working to, maybe that's not as easy as he thought. As you say, it's a city club. It's a city with a growing university in terms of a fan base, or something I know they're trying to tap into. But it is not a football club with a rich footballing heritage. If you understand what I mean, over the course of time. So that plan will be ultimately to work towards promotion, you would think. But they have been, along with many other clubs in that league, victims of the fact that they've been competing against former Football League giants, in inverted commas, at that level over the last few years. I think the frustration for the start this year is that division is as open as I can remember it in recent years, I think. So.
Well, Adam Lord, sports reporter at the Lancaster Guardian, thanks for coming on the show, and keep up the good work covering this story and many others. Would you just like to give a plug for the work you do and where people can follow you?
Yeah, so I work for a local paper up in Lancaster, and the best place to keep up to date online for people who might be interested in following what's going on is probably my Twitter, which is at Adam Lord LM for Lancaster and Morecambe, because I do the Shrimpton League too as well. So, but yeah, that's probably the best way to keep in touch.
Thanks, Adam, for joining us on this week's show. So that was the cheery news from Lancaster City there, and we should say, I think it was Harold Macmillan who once said, the one thing he feared, events, dear boy, events. And very shortly we'll be hearing from Andrew Simpson with a perspective from Division 1 North, and we should say we recorded that interview before Witten Albion got rid of their manager as well, so it's awfully confusing, trust me. But this is the last interview I've recorded for this show, so it's the most up-to-date one. It's Thursday, and it's now time to draw our eyes to Division 1 South. And that means there's only one place we can go to for this. It's to Not FM Staffordshire Football Show's very own Robin Gray. Hello, Robin. How are you?
Hi, Ben. Yeah, very well, thanks.
I'm struggling to keep up with all these managers going left, right and centre. It's tricky. Ramsbottom's lost their manager as well in recent days, so it's just confusing. But anyway, we'll try and be current as we can. So, Stafford Rangers have won the league, haven't they? It's all sorted.
Well, it's looking that way. I mean, there are a few managers, like you say, in a few other divisions, looking around, scratching their heads. So far, locally in Staffordshire, that there's plenty here looking very, very pleased so far. And Scott Dunn's another one, actually, I'm sure we'll come on to later in the interview, locally here. But in terms of Stafford, it's been absolutely phenomenal. I think they've equaled a record for a number of years ago. I read in the Staffordshire newsletter the other day, where they've, 10 games unbeaten, the first time in that for a number of years. And Neil Kitchen's built his side on consistency, on the morals, really, of football, the backbone of a team, defensively solid and can score goals. And when you do that in a football team, it sounds very boring and very dull. But at the end of the day, it gets you success. Well, and that's what you have to do.
In 10 games, they've scored 28 goals, which by my maths is nearly 3 goals a game. And they've only conceded 7. So it's just solid all round, isn't it, really?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair to them, I mean, they probably believe themselves that they might have actually been able to, keep the back door shut a little bit more. But when you look at that, their recent results, obviously beating Colton the other day, it's a wonderful thing to see for them, especially when they beat Belper 6-0. Ben Hazley, on paper, looked like he'd be a good signing, and on the pitch has been a wonderful signing. I think getting recruitment done early, like Stafford did, and getting it done in the early season has helped them with him coming in. And Dacres, who, when I first started covering Stafford Rangers, played as a central defender. And then last season he plays a midfielder, and this season he's playing as a striker and scored a hat-trick on Tuesday. So it just shows that the versatility they've got in their side, and the way that they're not afraid to keep players coming in and out, which is could be seen by some people as a dangerous tactic. But Neil Kitchen has mastered that tactic, and there are players. He's just said with one of them in the paper the other day that if we have had a disagreement and I can't see this player playing for the club again, and they move on, they get someone else in. They look at them. Do they fit the bill of Stafford Rangers? Are they, perhaps a local player who's going to be proud to play for what is a sleeping giant in Stafford Rangers? Mm-hmm. And will the fans warm to them? And the answer on all the players they've got there at the moment is yes, and that's why they're doing so well.
And it's a theme that's cropped up a couple of times in recent shows. They're out the FA Cup as well, which might be a blessing.
Yeah, I mean, the FA Cup is wonderful. Perhaps not when you're always pushing for promotion. You always want to do well in the competitions, but we've seen it's been the teams. You look at Warrington Town, they were nowhere near the playoffs. And you don't get these stories from non-league football where there's a team that's, maybe in the top five of a league and that gets all the way to the first round, even with Norton last season. It does help the league form sometimes, but when you're going so well in the league, it can almost only be a distraction. That's my view on it. Some would disagree, to say the least. But I think, like you say, a blessing in disguise for them. And a couple of other teams gone out of the cup, they won't be happy.
Very shortly, we'll be hearing from Colville Town themselves. But they're 8 points currently off Stafford Rangers with a game in hand and can't be discounted with the run they've gone on so far.
Well, they've always been up there, haven't they? And they've got that again. They're another side that's built themselves on that defensive solidity. And it's not just this season we've seen it. It's got quite unbelievable. I think ever since I've been covering non-league football, they've always built themselves on that. And in this league, it's what you need. They'll be obviously disappointed with Tuesday's result. I think drawing with Chase Town, they probably perhaps saw that as a game they could have won. And looking forward now, it will be trying to catch up with Stafford. Stafford will have a blip, and it's about peaking at the right times, as we see so often in this division. But conceding 4 goals in 9 games is a wonderful achievement. Yeah. And when you've only scored 13, I mean, I'm just looking at the table here.
It's 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0. It's only way, isn't it?
And look for Dynamo, are 18th, and they've scored 16. And it just shows that it's not always about how many goals you score, it's about how you manage a game, which a lot of teams in this division do struggle to do, I see.
Well, it's the best defensive record in the league, you won't be surprised to know, dear listener. Shore Lane Aquaforce, refreshing change to the league this season, bringing in some new faces and stuff, like Gavin Allett, for example. It seems to me like Gavin Allett gets mentioned every single week on an Evo Stick MPL podcast. But there he is, and 24 goals scored by Shore Lane Aquaforce. Are they the real deal this year?
Well, we saw last season, didn't we, with Tividale doing quite well and Spalding being up there, that it's sort of anybody's game. And if you can get a good start and carry on that momentum from the success you had last season, and also with a name like that, you're destined for success as well. I mean, you know, a really, really wonderful name and a wonderful start for them as well.
And just so there's no dressing room arguments at Shore Lane Aquaforce, I know other people have scored as well as Gavin Allett this season, just to say. There's a bit of a at that point, it kind of breaks down into teams on 17 on 16 points. Some old favourites of mine, like Romulus, are up there in fourth position at this moment in time. It seems like they dropped off a bit on last month's show, but here they are at fourth.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was quite surprised to see sort of the way that we beat them at Kidsgrove, just due to how well they were doing, I thought, in the league. And that they've built, you know, they've got some very good results. Again, it's great to see Sheffield FC back up there, because they're obviously an extremely old club and a great traditional club as well. So it looks like Stocksbridge are getting themselves back to where they probably expected or hoped to be last season. Marky Drayton, to me, have been the surprise package. Again, Spalding are probably looking to build on last season. It will be hard to probably hit those heights, but they're doing it so far. And then you sort of get into, you know, a couple of our local sides in there as well. Obviously, my favourite kid's Grover, who I think we've really picked up now. And
yes.
When we're looking to, you know, we're scoring a lot of goals. We've got a lot of talent there, and I think we'll be pushing higher than 10th. So it'll be interesting, but it's a very open league. It's a very good league, but I also think that a lot of it's now going to be down to how these teams can, you know, grind out results, get back points that they shouldn't do, draw games 0-0 a bit more, rather than from what we've seen out of a lot of high-scoring games so far this season.
If we just turn the league on its head momentarily, obviously down the bottom at this moment in time, we've got big fans of the show as well, so it does actually break my heart to say this, but Tividale down the bottom. However, no one's really been cut adrift. If you look at the Premier Division at this moment in time, you've got Ramsbottom, and you can see they have been cut adrift, whereas Tividale are still well a win, and they could go up to 17th. So
yeah, I mean, that, you know, they're thereabouts. That, you know, last season they did really well. I believe they lost a few players in the summer. Obviously, change is difficult for some teams, but they have, you know, they've had a couple of home wins, and you'd hope that they can build on that perhaps for their sake. Again, Carlton, they're always a side they're usually. You know, last season I think they had a decent second half to the season, so I would expect them to pick up. And obviously Belper have come back down. They've taken a few thrashings, especially on Tuesday, and again they'll be looking, you know, at the other end of the league. Maybe they might fall into what Stocksbridge did last season. So nobody's safe by any means, and nobody's cut adrift. So it just leaves it wide open, really. But there are a lot of teams down there that you perhaps would expect to be a bit higher up. Mm-hmm. And there are perhaps a lot of teams up at the top that are overachieving.
And we'll be hearing also from Belper Town very shortly, because they've had some managerial changes, as have Rugby Town quite recently. And that seems to have given them a little bounce. I think last month they were second from bottom, now they're third from bottom. So onwards and upwards. Just to say as well about FA Cup, and the draw has been made this past week, and it's a bit unfair on Division 1 South sides, because you get lumped in with the Southern League, don't you, in the FA Cup. But this year, I have to say, I think some Division 1 South sides have played an absolute blinder when it comes to the FA Cup.
Yeah, well, you know, it's always luck of the draw. And last season, I was involved with Norton, and Norton's, Norton's lift as such, where they got to the first round proper of the FA Cup, and it was superb. And yeah, I'm not saying they had an easy ride all the way there. There were some very difficult games, but I think there was only one occasion where they actually played a team ahead of them in terms of division status. So if you can get a good draw and build that consistently, have that team spirit which they had, you can do well in the competition. And it's usually down to that. But I know we saw a couple. You know, you always get the shock games. Perhaps some of the conference, the National League North and South teams now, you know, tend to maybe they have fielded weaker sides. That did happen a little bit last season, and that's perhaps where some of the lesser teams do pick up on that and go forward in the competition. So it's usually down to that. It's usually down to luck of the draw and you know, go to achieve the odds in a delayed David and Goliath sort of scenario, as we see so often.
And we should, one of those teams was Colville Town, who beat Stratford Town of the Southern League. That's an impressive result. Just to throw out some names from Division 1 South who are in the next round, I'm trying to look through the list. Chasetown arguably have got the biggest of the matches. They're hosting Stalybridge Celtic of the National North Division. So, you never know. What do you Chasetown, all the teams in Division One South, they're not the ones I would have said would still be in the competition.
They're not, but they did have that success, didn't they, where they beat Port Vale a few years ago. So it's clubs like that who will just perhaps say, when it comes to the FA Cup, it's a welcome distraction. You know, I think at the start of the season, with their win over Leake and that you know, everybody thought they might be a little bit higher than where they are in the league now. But you know, that's always difficult, Ben. That's always difficult to keep that up sometimes. It's new players, it's maybe results that you shouldn't always get at this stage of the season. And for them, the FA Cup would be a welcome distraction. If they can maybe get a result against Stalybridge, then that might push the season on and they might gain confidence from that and go forward.
Brackley Town of the National North against Rugby Town as well. Rugby Town, despite being third from bottom, again, still in the competition, and there could be an upset on the cards there because Brackley haven't been that great in the National North this season.
No,
so far.
And they haven't. But also Brackley last season, when they were another team, weren't they, that they got shocks and did quite well. There is something bizarre about this competition. I mean, it always seems to bring up the surprises as such. Obviously, it was Rugby who... It was 3-2 win over Lincoln United in the last round that got them there, and obviously they beat Ilkeston as well. So they've done really well to get where they are now. And Brackley, they beat Gillingham, I think. Yeah, it wasn't last year, the year before this competition. So again, you know, it'd be great to see Rugby do well, a newly promoted side, just like Norton last season. Can they build confidence? Can they get ahead with that? You'd hope so, and hopefully we can see a positive outcome for them.
And lastly, for Division 1 South in the FA Cup, Sporting Kalzer have got Spalding United coming in. Spalding have got to go through in that one, haven't they?
Yeah, you'd hope so.
And lastly now, Robin, as you said, there's been a managerial change at Witton Albion in recent days. We should say coming up next is an interview with Andrew Simpson from the Northwich Guardian, who had an inkling it was going to come, it was about to happen, but he couldn't really go to air and say that. And it has happened now. So poor Simo's been left to contemplate his journalistic career, maybe, but he'll be coming on next week to give us more details about what's going on at Witton. But in the meantime, your reaction to him, the managerial change at Witton, because you know the manager from Norton days.
Yeah, I know Scott from his time at Norton, and Scott said in the local paper, the Sentinel, that he's no surprise. He said he thought it might be coming 3 or 4 weeks ago, so. It just shows they don't take any prisoners at Witton Albion. When things are going well, you know, you're pulling up trees, you're beating everyone. When things aren't going well, the whole world's against you there. That's the sort of club it is, because of the success that they've got in their history, because of the days when they used to bring in players. I think Jeff Horsfield is an example that our manager gave me last night of that. And, you know, I'm sure Scott will look to the future now. He'll look forward and he might come back to the local area. There'll be a few of those players as well who I think will leave Witton now, and a few managers in our local area will be looking to sign up because they won't be travelling that way, being based this way as such. And, you know, they've got a Scott's, obviously, he's got his assistant there, Wayne Brotherton, as well, who's come. They've left the club as well. There'll be a few other people involved who'll come back. And Scott's got a brand of football where his teams are very attacking. And perhaps if he can modify that to getting results, to keeping a few more clean sheets, he could be a manager that a lot of teams will look at. And he'll certainly will be. You know, 10 games judged at Witton Albion compared to what he did at Norton, I'd like to think that a lot of people will overlook that.
Well, Robin Gray from the Staffordshire Football Show on Not FM, thanks for joining us this week. Would you like to just give a plug where people can follow you and stuff?
Yeah, I'm at RobinGray21 on Twitter, and the show is the Staffordshire Football Show, as you rightly say, Ben, on Not FM, Thursdays 7 till 8pm. But thank you, as always, for having me.
No worries, and that's available online as well, isn't it?
It is, yeah. We're an online station, so if you go to the link, it's www.notfm.co.uk, and you can hear from about 7:30 onwards. We always get the local Division 1 South stuff on from the local area of non-league football.
Nice one, Robin, and you have a good week.
Cheers, and I'll speak to you soon, Ben. Cheers.
Well, thank you there to Robin Gray. But it's now time for another Division 1 South. We'll be returning to it very shortly. But it's now time to draw our eyes back to Division 1 North. And there's only one place we can go to, ladies and gentlemen, to find out what's been going on in Division 1 North. It's over to the Northwich Guardians' very own. It's Andrew Simpson. Hello, Andrew. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm not so bad, thank you. So the main news this week, really, and we've just spoke to Adam Lord earlier from the Lancaster Guardian, and that is the departure of the management staff at Lancaster City. What are your views?
Yeah, a little bit surprised, although I'm sure Adam's been able to kind of give you a more detailed picture. But yeah, it's something I'd made a note to mention, and I'd look at the table to see where they were, and they're currently in 15th, so I would guess not where they would have expected to be. Having said that, they've only lost two league games. It's not like they've been, they've been losing every week. But they went, didn't they, after what was probably considered a really disappointing defeat in the FA Cup away to Droylsden on Saturday, and that seems to have been what's been the catalyst. So yeah, I'm a little bit surprised. Although yes, Lancaster would expect to be much closer to the top than what they are.
I think a lot of people around Lancaster are surprised with everything that's gone on there. And like you say, the start's not... I mean, I did say this in an interview. The start's not been that bad, to be honest. Even despite the fact the 15th, no disrespect to the other teams below them, but there's a few bankers there for relegation problems this season rather than Lancaster City. But it just goes to show you the pressure on some of these clubs in this league to try and make it work and get promoted.
Yeah, yes, I think so. And I think, Lancaster finished just outside the playoffs last season. So, and obviously, Darren Peacock and Trevor Sinclair were there last year. So I suppose it was only a natural progression to expect them to challenge this year. It is still relatively early days. I mean, they're only 7 points off fifth place. Mm-hmm. So it does feel like a surprising move. But obviously, I've not seen performances on the pitch. They did. One of their two wins was against Witton Albion. But and they played well that day. But obviously, it's not come together in the way that the club envisaged. I mean, they've put out, I read the statement with interest, and it always makes me smile when I see by mutual consent, because I still don't really understand what that means. But I would suspect that the club have pushed them rather than they've resigned. And be interesting to see what happens.
Actually, Simo, it's the other way around.
Really? Yes. Well, that is interesting. That is interesting.
It's bizarre. I can't work it out. Anyway, speaking of bizarre, it's like the North West Counties has suddenly arrived in the First Division North. Glossop North End, at time of recording, Glossop North End are currently top of the league. We're recording this on Tuesday, so there is some midweek matches to consider. But at this moment, top of the league. And do we keep plugging away and saying that they're going to do it this year?
I think so. We've seen this a few times, haven't we, where teams who've come through from the North West Counties League have got this horrible football cliche that they have momentum, but it's more that they're in a winning habit. They're used to winning, and they are on a roll. Gloucester have had a great start. They're still not lost. They're the league's leading scorers now, although you're quite right to point out they have played more games than everybody else. But yeah, to go top of the table at this early stage is really promising for them. And I think they are the real deal. I think they are contenders. They're another team that Witton have played this season, and they've won 1-0 on the day, but they were much, much, much more comfortable winners than the scoreline suggests. And I think I think it's really impressive about Gloucester. They are the leading scorers, and they have got so much firepower. And I wonder, a penny for Witness thoughts is to see Jamie Rainford at the top of the scoring charts at the moment. I mean, he was excellent for Witton, I thought, last year in albeit a disappointing season. And he's obviously gone to Glossop and showing his class again there. But I do think they're in it for the long haul. I think they're a contender for promotion.
We've obviously got Northwich Victoria, who've got two games in hand currently over yeah. Boston North End, a point behind. No surprises where they are. They've hit the ground running. We mentioned it last month. They're contenders too, really, aren't they, this year, to be honest?
Yes, I think so. I mean, they had their first league defeat of the season last Tuesday at Clitheroe, and were well beaten on the night. But I mean, they had to lose eventually. I mean, it's an unbelievable start to have won 8 successive games. Although, to be fair, they bounced back brilliantly on Saturday to beat Premier Division side Hyde United in the FA Cup. So there was no hangover from losing to Clitheroe. The only slight, and it is a slight caveat I would add with Vicks, is that they've only played one team that's currently in the top 8 in the table, right. and that team was Clitheroe, and they lost. Mm-hmm. So I think, obviously, you know, that's just the way the fixture list has panned out, and they've obviously made the most of playing teams lower down the table, but they've not run into any of their rivals yet. So I think we'll find out a little bit more about the relative strength of Northwich when they do have a chance to play the Glossops or the Warringtons or the Spennymoors. I had a quick look at the fixture list before we started recording, and they've got a run in December, which we'll probably touch on nearer the time, where they play them all in a row. So that might be quite interesting. We might get a better gauge then. But, I mean, I do expect Northwich to go back to the top of the table tonight. They're playing Droylsden away, and I know Droylsden had that really good win in the FA Cup on Saturday, but you would expect Vicks to be too strong for them. So I expect when we wake up tomorrow that they will be back at the top of the table.
I think on last month's show we were speculating about Warrington Town, whether they were going to do it this season. But they've strung some results together now and are currently third in the league. Has Sean Reid been on the touchline, though, during this last few games? I don't think has he?
No. Well, uh-oh. He was... I don't know, what are you possibly suggesting? But I think he might have been back at the weekend. Last Saturday, when Witten were home to Kendley, he was in the stand watching the game. So he wasn't there last Saturday. So I wonder if he was back for their victory at the weekend. I mean, they hammered Clitheroe on Saturday, which was a great result. They've won 5 of the past 6. It looks like they're getting their act together. I had a little look at the bookmakers' odds. They're now clear favourites for the title at 3-1.
Okay.
Quite interesting. And they started as joint favourites with Bamber Bridge, but obviously Bamber have had that slow start. We'll touch on them probably later. Warrington now kind of rated as the ones to watch. And I think most people said that before the start of the season. And after it was a slowish start, didn't they? They had a couple of draws and they went out the FA Cup and we wondered what was going to happen, but they really have come good since then, and they've added Ben Deegan to their attack as well from Trafford, and that's a great signing in my book. So they have an even more formidable forward line now.
Ben Deegan's a superb player, really is.
I'd
like to just mention, just before we move on to lower down the league, I'd just like to mention Spennymoor Town, who I believe I've got the full package. They've scored 21 goals, which is very good considering they've only played 8 games, and they've only conceded 3. That bodes very well. I can imagine Roy Sewell celebrating this team for their attacking and defensive prowess.
They are also the Division's form team with 6 successive victories. It was a very surprise exit in the FA Cup on Saturday at home to Burscombe. We should show some love to Burscombe.
Yeah, so, I was going to. Don't worry, it's on the agenda.
Fantastic result for Burscombe. I mean, you do wonder, though, whether that might work in Spennymoor's favour. I mean, we mentioned in one of the earlier shows when I said, I think I said to you that it was a disaster that Warrington lost to Abbey Hay, and you said, oh, could it be? Because last season the FA Cup was a distraction for them. And that'll be interesting to watch with Vicks. Obviously, they're on a good FA Cup run at the moment. I've been drawn against Marine or Washington in the next round. If Norwich continue to progress in the FA Cup, will that impact on them? Now, Spennymoor and Warrington have both been knocked out. One to keep an eye on there. But Spennymoor, absolutely, they are definitely contenders to win the title.
You kind of ruined one of my avenues of questioning there, Simo, with that one. It was basically I was going to mention the fact that Norwich are literally the only one in that top 4 now in the FA Cup. Could be one of those things, couldn't it? But I don't think Northwich Victoria are going to turn down the limelight if they do a Warrington, for example, and get through to the first and maybe even the second FA Cup round.
Probably not, and it's not a bad draw for them. I mean, obviously Marina at higher level, but I wouldn't have thought there's a significant difference between the two teams. Washington is just, if it's them that win the replay tonight, from the Northern League. It's just, you know, it's going into the unknown against them. I mean, they've done tremendously well to get this far already, Washington. So they would obviously be difficult opponents, but I wouldn't have thought that Norfolk should be frightened playing either of those two. So they would fancy their chances of going at least one more round in the FA Cup. They have got a smallish squad, so that there could be an issue there if the fixtures start to build up. So certainly one to keep an eye on. And like you say, I think it is a slight advantage to the other two, Warrington and Spenny, and Gloucester as well, that they're not in the FA Cup now, and they will make the most of that, I think.
Let's show some love then for Burscough. They go up to Spennymoor on Saturday and win by 2-0 in the FA Cup. Burscough, over the years, they've had trials and tribulations. They do live in the shadow a bit nowadays of Skelmersdale. This is great for the club.
It is, absolutely. I mean, I wouldn't have given them any chance at all of winning on Saturday. And in fact, I had a little look this morning. They'd not won an away game. In fact, they're not won an away game in the league, but their two FA Cup wins have been away from home, and they've got a nice draw as well. They've been drawn away to Harrogate Town, so they're playing a Conference North side, which is obviously a difficult game. But what a chance to go and
absolutely
and cause another upset. Obviously, it'd be interesting to see how Spennymoor respond to going out. I think they'll be okay, but yeah, well done to Burscough rather than kind of saying that Spennymoor. You know, had an off day. I think we should praise Burscough for going there and getting a great result.
And we mentioned it earlier, congratulations to Drawsden there through to the third qualifying round, beating Lancaster City by 2-0, which, given where both sides are in the league, I don't think that can be taken for granted either as a good result for Drawsden. And lastly, Bamber Bridge 2, Skelmersdale United 0.
Yeah.
Bamber, we did say, were the favourites for the league title this season. They've had a iffy start with injuries and not having the full team to select from.
But yeah,
they're starting to what's the word I'm looking for?
They've got their mojo back.
Boom. I was going to say connect the dots, but that's even better.
there's some promise there, isn't there? I mean, it took them six games to get their first win. They beat Trafford to get their first win. Then they went and they hammered New Mills, and everyone might say, well, everyone's hammered New Mills, but they've kind of then went on to beat Skem in the FA Cup, which is a fantastic result. And you just think now, they've climbed to 13th. They've still got work to do, but you know, don't be under any illusions. They go to Witten tonight, which would be interesting. If they can carry on their run by picking up 3 points at Wincham Park, that would put them onto 14 points, and suddenly they're within touching distance of the top five. So it's shown how quickly things can change. I mean, the start has been slow, but they've been drawing. They've only actually lost once, which was away to Northwich in the first week of the season. So they've kind of been finding a way to avoid defeat, but just not been turning it into victories. But they're on 11 points. They're 14 points behind Glossop at the top. There's still a fair distance to make up, and I still wonder whether that slow start may cost them a tilt at the title. But if they can string together another three or four wins in October, then it would be interesting to see kind of whether they can get themselves back in the mix. And yeah, good FA Cup win. They've got an interesting draw as well, away to Kettering, which
that means I could put my Southern League hat on. Okay. Yeah. Well, Kettering, they're mid-table in that league, and you know, it's doable.
It's definitely doable, and I think that probably along with Northwich, they've got the best chance of getting through, because we mentioned Drills, and they've been a drawn at home to Gainsborough, which is another team from two levels higher, so it's a difficult one for them. But yeah, Bamber Bridge and Northwich might be the ones to kind of keep the Division 1 North flag flying in the FA Cup a bit longer.
Of course, dear listener at home, if you listen to the Southern Football League show as well, you'll hear me say on that show, well, you've got higher league positioning. It's a banker, isn't it? Anyway, so let's tip the conversation on its head and let's deal with the bottom of the table. I'm just going to say this. New Mills.
God. They're conceding an average of 4 goals a game, and it is eye-watering. Although it will be interesting to see. I mean, they've changed manager and brought in Gary Brown, who's been in charge at the all-conquering Wythenshawe Town, of people who follow Norfolk's football a bit lower down. They'll be familiar with what an incredible run Wythenshawe have been on in the Cheshire League. I think they won every single game they played last season and won 4 trophies. So, I mean, it's obviously a big step up from there, but a great opportunity for Gary and he's brought his assistants with him from Wythenshawe to really kind of show what he can do at a higher level. I mean, obviously the size of the task looks enormous. And they've lost all 10 league games. So they'll need a little bit of time to adjust. As long as obviously what they need to avoid is being cut adrift. And they're only 5 points off Farsley, who are third bottom. So at the moment, it's not too bad. But it will be interesting to see how he can do. I mean, without that change, it looked like they were in, you know, they were already going to be kind of nailed on for relegation. There's probably now we need to just kind of wait and see what happens. It'll be interesting to see if they can kind of transfer that kind of winning ethos they've had lower down to Newmills. So watch this space a little bit on that one.
I think the problem with Newmills is always, in the past two seasons, certainly has been retaining players more than anything. They go through players pretty much like Drolsden used to. Now, Drolsden are currently second from bottom at this moment in time. They've played two games less than most of the teams around them. Still, it's a bit of a surprise.
A little bit. They've had a quite high turnover of players. I mean, they lost. We mentioned Deegan earlier. He was one who scored goals from last year. And Kieran Killeen went back to Warrington. So, I mean, they're two excellent players to lose. So it'll be interesting to see. I don't think they will go down. I think they will pick up. But I think they are significantly weaker than last season. The one that's really surprised me, and it surprised me because I've seen them. I saw them play against Witten in the FA Cup, is Farsley. Because they were desperately unlucky to lose that FA Cup tie. They're only undone by two wonder goals from Witten. And I know, again, that people at Northwich thought that Farsley played really well against them last week. So is it one of those where they're playing really well every week and everyone's kind of patting them on the head going, it'll come good? But it's a little bit of a worry to see.
It's kind of similar to what people are saying about Ramsbottom. In the Premier Division. Yeah. Oh, they're playing good football, though. And it's the same. People were saying that about Marine last season. And Witten, actually. Ironically.
And Witten to a large extent. I mean, no, it's very true. I mean, they're only losing by the odd goal here and there. So they can turn that around. They will pick up. But it will be a worry. They've only won one of the first nine games because losing does become a habit. So, again, after seeing them, I think they're far too good to be where they are in the table. But they will want to kind of pick up a couple of wins quickly to stop the rot a little bit.
And I'm not going to mention Radcliffe Borough. I'll let Teagot do that on the other show. I can't be bothered.
They have improved, to be fair. So.
Congratulations to Radcliffe Borough. And Prescott Cables, though. This is what I'm going to end with. I'm going to end with this. Good. Prescott Cables, wow. This has to be one of the best turnarounds since Lazarus, surely.
Yeah, fantastic. I mean, they lost at Brighouse last night, which is no disgrace because Brighouse are in the top five now after picking up those 3 points last night. But before that, obviously they'd lost the first four games of the season and got tonked in pretty much all of them to prompt the change. Andy Paxton's gone in there from Skelmersdale, and in the six games since they've picked up 10 points and played some good opponents in that run as well. So fantastically well done to him, and there's been an enormous turnover of players. He's turned things on its head by bringing in people he wanted to bring in, and the early signs are promising. So I mean, if Newmills are looking at that, they can see that a managerial change has really been a catalyst for Prescott to turn around their season. So there is some reason to be encouraged by watching what Prescott have done. But of the resources that they have at that club, to kind of the impact that Andy's had going in there, and his first managerial job, I think he's been on the backroom staff at Skelmersdale, so it's his first job as a number one. Yeah, absolutely deserves some love for what they've done in the past 4 to 6 weeks since the managerial change.
Andrew Simpson, senior sports writer for the Northwich Guardian, thanks for coming on the show this month, and enjoy your football in Division 1 North. I'm sure we'll have you back in the Prem soon.
I'd like to think so. Nice. Thanks, mate.
We'll be returning to Division 1 North shortly with an interview with Glossop North End. But before that, we're going to draw our eyes to Division 1 South again momentarily. And I'm not going to suggest surprise packages, but they've started really, really well. Colville Town. And to discuss this more, we've got Steve Cartwright here, who his job title is Club Secretary, Website and Press Admin, Stadium Announcer and sometimes Drum Banger. Hello, Steve. How are you?
Hi, Ben. Yeah, I'm good, thanks.
It's been a cracking start for Colville Town, hasn't it?
It has, you know. We've sort of, I think, nine games in now on second place, only conceded three goals in the league all season from those nine games, one defeat. So, yeah, I think, you know, the manager, Tommy Brookbanks, is reasonably happy, with the start he's made. So, yeah, we're looking good, really.
At the start of the season, I suppose I'm going to have to mention this in every single interview we're doing Division 1 South. There's a lot of new teams in there. What was the expectation, do you think, at the start of the season amongst the fans and the coaching staff?
Obviously, not last season, but the two seasons before that, you know, we got in the playoffs. I mean, you know, three seasons ago now, we were something like 16 points clear of King's Lynn in March, and they came through and and overtook us. We were, apparently that season, we were shorter odds than, the only one with shorter odds to win a league in Europe was Bayern Munich than Colville, but we blew it. We blew it again the season after, you know. And last year, we, at the start of last season, our manager, Adam Stevens, who'd been with us for 8 years, left. We had another guy come in, lasted about five or six games. And then, so last year was a rebuilding season for us, you know. But this year, we were expecting to be up there and challenging again after the disappointment of last season. So, you know, so far, so good.
What's your take on the league standard at this moment in time? Because obviously Stafford Rangers has been, this is their, I think, their second season in the league, and they've started to get their act together a bit, I feel. Can you keep up with them?
Yeah, I don't see why not. You know, we've got some really good players here, some, you know, a lot of younger players as well. Got a young guy called Dean Freeman, who's come from nowhere, signed for us in the summer, was released by Barnsley, playing for us at the back. He's an absolute colossus, the guy. You know, he's, so 19, he's defending really well. But, you know, the teams, like, say, Stafford, you know, they've got a lot of, with the, you know, size of crowds, they get the budget they've got, they're going to do well. But, you know, we think we can match them. We've got a good squad. And you know, we're adding to it all the time. You know, last week we signed a guy called Liam Walsh, who was the captain Mickle over to the title last year, and was the Evo Stick Division 1 South Player of the Year last year. So we brought him into the squad this week. So, you know, we're quietly confident. You know, we're not going to sort of shout too loudly, but yeah, we're quietly confident that we'll be there or thereabouts at the end of the year.
Now, I'm not going to jinx it for you, but we're recording this on Tuesday. In about, 40 minutes' time, you'll be kicking off at home to Chasetown. I'm going to jinx it. I don't want to jinx it. You're very good at home, and if you do win that game in hand, and Stafford ever trip up, then you're only a couple of points behind them. Is the target promotion this year?
Oh, it's got to be. I mean, you know, the club's gearing itself up for it. We've got a massive project going on, building a new clubhouse at the minute, which is, you know, about £400,000 worth of investment in the infrastructure of the ground. You know, and the team there. So yeah, you know, we are aiming for promotion, there's no doubt about it. You know, the manager said that, the chairman said that, and so far so good.
Well, Steve,
but it's early days.
Well, Steve Cartwright, I'll go and let you get the team printouts and all that, the team sheets.
Okay, that's great.
Do you want to bang that drum before you go?
I can give you the bang on the drum if you want.
Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah.
There we go.
So, listener, you thought I was joking, didn't you? That was Steve Cartwright there, club secretary, website and press admin, stadium announcer, and drummer boy at times. Thanks, Steve, for coming on the show.
Cheers,
man. So, at the start of the show, we covered Lancaster City's issues off the field at this moment in time, but there's been more managerial departures as well in Division 1 South. And this week, Belper Town lost Jimmy Albans and Wayne Hallcrow as well. And for more on that, we're joined by Belper Town's press officer now. It's Sam Allsop. Hello, Sam. How are you?
Hi, all right.
I'm not so bad. So, bit of a turbulent week. Where are we up to now with this news?
We found out on Sunday that Jim and Wayne have been relieved of their duties after he'd had a phone call from the chairman, Alan Benfield, after the... They lost 4-2 away to Tiverdale on Saturday, who were bottom of the table. And that was Belper's sixth defeat in seven games. So it wasn't a great surprise, to be fair. There was we expected it, to be fair. And then coming into tonight's game against Stafford, Danny Haystead and club captain Phil Watt will be taking charge while the application process is taking place, and they'll be reviewing who's applied for the job and who they want to take on.
If we're going to talk about baptisms of fire and your first game in charge kind of thing as a caretaker, Stafford Rangers isn't the easiest to play, is it?
Yeah. Exactly. Well, what I've been saying is football's a strange game. You can see Belper, they've lost six of the last seven. They lost the bottom of the table on Saturday, and then they'll go away to top of the league who've not even lost a game yet, and they'll probably end up going to win. That's sometimes how football works, but we'll have to wait and see. But the Belper have got some important games coming up, especially away at Stafford tonight. It's a big game. And on Saturday's the FA Trophy first round against Market Drayton, which is obviously an important game for financial reasons. Mm-hmm. If you can get through that, there's is a big price for that.
If we talk about expectations at the club, obviously, Sam, last season you were in the Prem Division. You've tumbled out of the Prem Division. And what was the expectation at the start of the season in Division 1 South?
Yeah, well, I think the main expectation was to bounce straight back and challenge for the playoffs at least, if not challenge for the top spot and try and get straight back up. The helper, we did quite well to keep the core of the squad players such as Laurie Wilson, Phil Watt, Danny Hayes that had stayed at the club, obviously played at a lot higher level, and that was a big achievement in itself for Belper to keep these sort of players around the club and to challenge again for the season. But as in the start of the season, it seemed to be all going well. The first unbeaten in the first four games of the season, then got through the first qualifying round of the FA Cup, and it all seemed to be going pretty well. And then, like I keep saying, the six defeats in seven games, no one can put a finger on it, what went wrong and how it's happened, but that's football, I suppose.
Well, we're only nine games into the season. We're pre-recording this on Tuesday, so it's going to be 10 games by the time it goes out as a podcast. Not completely out of it, to be fair. There's only 6 points to the playoff positions at this moment in time. But the general mood at the club is one of rejuvenating things or trying to rejuvenate things and onwards and upwards, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I think so, definitely. Like you said, there's a long way to go in this season. A manager can come in and they're not out of the question of promotion by any means. I think whoever comes in has got a good group of players, a good foundation to build on. I think they'll have a good budget as well to spend, and like they've still got a good chance of going up, so they can't be ruled out, in my opinion.
And the FA Trophy this weekend, you touched on it briefly there against Market Drayton. What would a decent trophy run mean for the club at this moment in time?
Well, first of all, it would be good for the team to just get some wins under the belt. If the new manager was to come in, he's got a perfect opportunity, a few more games. But then, obviously, at this level, probably the biggest thing for cup run is the financial benefits of it. You can get through. This year was a bit different to before. The FA Trophy first round rewards more funds than the FA Cup first qualifying round, which hasn't happened before. So getting through the FA Trophy could be massive this year for that reason.
Well, Sam Allsop, press officer at Belper Town, thanks for coming on the show. Would you like to plug what you do and where people can go to follow Belper Town?
Yeah, definitely. We're on most social media websites, Facebook, Twitter, Vine. Got our own YouTube channel, which is Nailers TV, which you'll be able to pick up on our Twitter as well. Our Twitter handle is just Belper Town FC. As many followers and likes and everything would be great for the club. Yeah, that's about it, really. We're hopefully a few more wins, and if we get a new manager in, it'll be a positive season for the Nailers.
Well, Sam, we wish you all the best of luck going forward in this league campaign, and hope you get a good replacement in at the club.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And lastly, on this week's show, well, we said we were going to focus on one of the surprise packages of the season, and I'm not so sure it is a surprise package, because me and Andrew Simpson both predicted it. But for more on Glossop North End, the surprise package of Division 1 North, we turn to Hillmen Radio. It's Tim Barnett and Nick Tunzel. Hello, the pair of you. How are you?
Hello, hello. We're all right, thank you, sir.
So is it a surprise at this moment in time where Glossop are?
I don't know. I think talking around the town and talking around the football club, lots of the point people are making is we've earned the right to play at this level, because we've struggled in the North West Counties for many years, but then last season managed to get out of the North West Counties, winning a double on the way with a Wembley appearance. So we have won the right to play in this at this level, and we've started very well.
What do you think the main secret is of this season? Because it's just all round been superb so far, hasn't it?
It's been very good. I don't think anyone's getting carried away here. We've done well, a solid start. The management team have been excellent for the last year and a half, 2 years. And it's a good group of players, but they're not getting carried away, not getting ahead of themselves. If you look at the league table, although we are still unbeaten, there's a number of teams below us with games in hand. So it's just a case of taking it, I know it's the old cliche, but week by week, and keeping the players fit, healthy, and getting them out there.
If we talk about Division 1 North for a second, at the start of the season, we despite the fact Darlington and Salford have left the league, there's still the likes of Northwich Victoria, Warrington, Spennymoor, Bamber Bridge, who were actually favourites, Witton Albion, Trafford, Lancaster City as well, who and Drolsden, let's not forget, who a decent pedigree of clubs, some with deep pockets. Were you expecting to be second, though, this early in the season?
We were first on Monday night.
That's true too.
Not at all. I mean, obviously, the manager at the beginning of the season said that his ambitions are to win the league, which he's quite... he can say that, and we thought perhaps playoffs would be more a place we could get to. But the start we've made is absolutely fantastic. We played Spennymoor on the very first day of the season, and it was a 1-1 draw, very scrappy at that stage of the season. We actually play Spennymoor again this coming Saturday in the Trophy, and then we have to go up there a few weeks later. So obviously they're the only other team that have not been beaten.
As a club then, Glossop North End, say for example the manager's right and you do win the league or certainly get promoted for the playoffs. Is Glossop ready? I know the Pies are, but is the club ready for promotion?
As far as I know, because we do obviously speak to directors fairly regularly, as far as I know, They've always been looking the next step ahead. So when they're doing ground grading, they tend to be looking at the next level up rather than just the one that we're in at this moment in time. So there's lots of stuff happened around Glossop North End. It's really good. And obviously, as you've mentioned, we've got this Hillman Radio off the ground this year. That's broadcasting every single game, home and away, which is a fantastic service we offer to our supporters. GNE TV as well, that's Steph Billen. She's involved in that, getting loads of sort of weekly magazine programmes. So the profile of Glossop North End is rising. The crowds are rising, the Pies are great, and I think we would be ready for the next level.
Yeah, the infrastructure's there, it's being built alongside the team, no one's rushing, everything's been well planned. We've got a great board of directors who seem to really have their head screwed on. We're not gambling, we're not throwing money at this. This has been a gradual process which the manager's worked on. He had a five-year plan, I believe, when he started. Fortunately for us, it's kind of taken off a bit quicker than that. But again, no one's getting ahead of themselves, and it's all been done on a sound financial footing, which is great.
I was going to let you promote Hillman Radio at the end as well, but we might as well do it now. Internet radio, very close to my heart. Where did it all start for Hillman Radio?
Right, we started at the beginning of the season. It was actually an idea, and I must give the credit a bit to Luke Edwards at Hyde at 26-0. We've been down there a few seasons ago doing a bit of commentary down there, and it was such a great idea that I approached the club, Glossop, and said, can you just put a little bit of money into this and we'll get it off the ground? And we did. So we're broadcasting every single game, home and away, links on the Glossop North End website, and we are at Hillman Radio on Twitter, which is right where you found us for this. But loads of people tweeting, tell us that lots of people who are on holiday over the summer were listening to it abroad, tweeting us pictures of their sun lounges and beers in the sunshine and things like that. But we know people do listen, and it's just something that's there. And obviously away clubs can tune in as well. So when Spennymoor came here on the first day of the season, we got some lovely tweets from Spennymoor fans who tuned in from up north and were able to listen to the game because they couldn't travel to Glossop. So it's a great service, and long may it continue.
And for those clubs out there who are toying with the idea, because obviously Whitby Town Radio now exists, 26-0's last been around for years now, and Scarborough's got their own, I think, and I'm trying to remember some others now. I think that's possibly
it. Actually, United have certainly got one.
Oh, yeah, certainly. Is there anyone else? How easy is it to do? Because FC's had theirs since Northwest Counties Division 1 days. So there's no ISDN line, for example, at certain grounds, as you probably know. How easy is it to set up a radio station, and how effective is it? I mean, you mentioned the away supporters and stuff like that, but how effective is it for the club?
Well, I mean, it's fantastic. It's raising the profile, and we know the amount of people that are listening in, because you can see it through the back end of the software we use. Well, it's dead easy to set up if you've just got a little bit of technical nous. We had someone who can sort out service and things, so that bit was done for us. But the actual every match facilities you need is a laptop and a microphone. Or even we've seen, I think it was Scarborough actually, Nick saw an iPhone being used to broadcast. So, you know, that's all you need.
Tim and Nick from Hillman Radio, thanks for joining us on this month's Division 1 show. Much appreciated.
Been a pleasure.
Nice to talk to you.
So that's it for this month's Evo Stick Division 1 show for Division 1 North and South of the Northern Premier League. And my thanks to this month's guest for joining me. I hope you've enjoyed this second edition of the show. Let us know what you think either through the MPL Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/the MPL or by tweeting us directly at NPL Show. Remember to look out for the main monthly show. That'll be out in the next day or so as well. That's available via Audio Boom or the iTunes Store, or of course through the main Evo Stick League website. That's at evostickleague.co.uk. So that's it for this month's show. Wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your Evo Stick Division 1 side, make sure that you have fun. Goodbye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the Evo Stick range, you may need a bigger van. Evo Stick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.